About truth, the truth about holding it all together. Have you ever been in a spot where you feel like you just didn't hold it together all that great? Have you ever been there? You're just like, you know, Maria lost it. You know what I mean? It's like Candace holds it all together, but Maria lost it. And you're like, what? You know, it's like, how come I can't hold it together like my sister, you know, in this circumstance? And since they're twins, she just says, that was me. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, have you ever been there? Maybe it's emotionally you just sometimes lose it. Maybe spiritually you feel like, man, I got the emotional thing down, but spiritually sometimes I don't hold it so well together. I get in a situation. Maybe it's physically. Maybe it's whatever which way through circumstance, and you just, like, back down when you need to move forward. But have you ever felt like, man, I really wish I could have stepped up to the plate in that area, and I really shouldn't have backed down, and I didn't hold it together? Well, I want to talk about that today, and I want to talk about how you hold together. Have you ever noticed when you read the scriptures that Jesus held it together in every circumstance? He was getting set up and he held it together. He was betrayed, he held it together. He was beaten, he held it together. He was crucified, he held it together. He set the example for us. In every circumstance, in every situation, Jesus set the example. And then he laid out in the Bible, he laid out instructions, and in this one, he told us how to hold it together. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at the armor of God. But today, what I really want to go down to is verse 14. But let's start in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all else to stand, stand therefore, girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, why did he start the list with the belt of truth? Why did he start with the belt? Why did he start with truth? I mean, like, if, you know, somebody was sporting a new outfit today and they came in, most people don't go, you know, like, really like the belt you're wearing. You know, they're like, really like the outfit, you know, really like this, that. Are you here? Most people don't, like, you know, Chris was on stage. Nobody was looking at the belt. They're looking at the sword. Come on, Josh, right? It's like sword. The dude is packing. He's strapped. But we're looking at the sword, not the belt. You know, so why would he bring up the belt first? That's the first question that comes into my mind. If you think about the Roman soldier, his helmet was beautiful. It was ornate, and his breastplate was metal, and maybe you would have looked at that. You know, his shoes looked kind of like shiny boots. You know, he had a sword, a spear, or a lance. Any of those pieces of the armament, I would have been like, check that out. That probably would have caught my eye, not like a leather belt. The Roman belt was about 6 inches wide, more like a weightlifter's belt. And why the belt? And so there's something here, and I want to go back a little bit first. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, which is the oldest book in the entire New Testament, this is what was written. It says, let us who are of the day, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. So you think, okay, here's Paul's first writings. Here's Paul's first writings about the armor, and this is what he wrote. But then we're reading out of Ephesians. That's his last writing. So you get the first revelation, the last revelation. I can look at sermon notes that I preached a sermon, you know, years back, and I could look at them today. And I look back, and I'm like, oh, man, I got so much more revelation than what I had back there. Are you with me? You can look at your journal and go, oh, I've grown. Thank God I've grown. Well, that was Paul's description then. And what we're looking at today is now. But is notice something that happened. And that would be that Paul, what happened in between Thessalonians, his book to Thessalonica, and the one to Ephesus? What happened in between there? Paul matured. Well, I don't know about you, but I think, like, well, I want to know what happened and what happened in here. Paul matured, and his revelation of the armor increased. So I want the full revelation. I don't want the half revelation. Then be like, can I just get the hamburger with just the, can I get the In-N-Out double-double, but just give me the bottom and the first one and don't give me the cheese and everything on the top. No, I want both. Do you want half a revelation? Do you want half a commitment? So when you look at this, Paul had something that he gained. I want all of it. I want the whole thing. What is this? And so first, he shows us that this is the first. So I want to know why it was important to be first. I want to know why, after all of his revelation, that he put this in here. And so we see an expanded revelation. We see that this belt, truth, holds it all together. Now, if we look at this, first thing is, if you say truth was mentioned first, the next thing you have to do is say, well, if truth holds all things together, and if the belt of truth is what pulls it together and holds it together, then what do lies do? Lies cause things to fall apart. First of all, if you lie, you set things in motion and things fall apart. If you're on the lying end of things, things are going to fall apart. Trust and relationship falls apart. Relationships get breached. Covenant falls apart. There's all kinds of things. We can just go through a list of things. If you have that problem with lying, lying causes things to fall apart. It causes divisions. It causes all kinds of things. It doesn't cause it to come together. It causes it to fall apart. And then the next thing, if I look at Paul, I think Paul was anointed and he moved incredible miracles, not just regular miracles, incredible miracles. I mean, can you just imagine the miracles that Paul walked in? And then you think of all these things, and then you think like, well, you know, then why wouldn't he list those first? Why would he put truth above that? And if you really go back to it and you look at the very beginning, I want to ask you, you know, you go back to the first part. Where was the first lie recorded? And what happened? And who was it? It was Satan. And Satan in the garden with Eve, he brought the first lie. First, he brings a rhetorical question, did God really say? And then introduces the lie, that you really won't die. And he lies to Eve, and Eve bites into the lie, and she bites a hold of that lie, and then sin enters the world. So sin entered through a lie, and the devil's still lying today to us to get us to bite into the lie that sin will enter our lives so that we can't hold it all together. And so we don't walk like Jesus. Instead, we bite into that and we become more like him. And all the stuff that entered the world from that, sin was that first source. And that's what the devil did. And he still does it today. John 8:44, and Jesus said this. He said, you're your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and he does not stand in truth. Interesting. Jesus said the devil does not stand in truth. So he hits it right away. He says lie and truth. And Paul's writing how we're supposed to stand in truth. And he says when you've done all else to stand. And Jesus says the devil can't stand because you can't stand in a lie. And he says the devil doesn't stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources. He's a liar and the father of lies. So we see this power of a lie. And we see that we can fall under it. And if you trace it back, you can see there was all kinds of stuff. There was what happened when sin entered the world. We had denigration entered the world. What happened when it entered? Disorder entered the world with sin. What happened? We see that dysfunction and disputes and all these D's. And truth gets rid of the D's. Hello? So number one, the belt of truth holds it all together. Belt of truth, it holds all these things together. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. To gird meant they would reach down and grab the garment, tuck it up into the belt because they could get somewhere. And you're going to fall if you try to run and you don't gird up. Are you with me? Girding up, habit of soldier. You get a soldier on the field, he's got all this stuff and he's got all this gear on. And if he's going to run, he needs a belt to hold it all together. Because if you don't have a belt, everything starts flapping every which way. Have you ever tried to run with a pack without a belt? It just bounces on you. Try to run a mile with a pack that's just beating you. It's not fun. Try to have a weapon that's not secure and it's just beating you as you try to move from one place to another. The belt is very critical. The belt was important. And I think that after looking at the Roman soldier, Paul had a revelation. And he said the belt of truth, this was what held the Roman soldier's, all of his armor together. It was least impressive. Like I said, it was just this leather belt where all this other stuff was more impressive. But the sword was supported by the belt. The shield was attached by the belt. The breastplate was held in place by the belt. The lance would rest upon the belt. The belt was the most important because it was the thing that held it all together. Can you say that with me today? Hold it together. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to hold it together. I'm just messing with you. I can't believe you'd say that to your neighbor. Would you say this with me, and I'm being serious on this one. Say, I will tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Let's make that a prayer. I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. We need to stand in truth, and we need to gird ourselves with truth, and we need to understand truth, and we need to embrace truth, and we need to walk in it. And all those things that are impressive, you need truth. And if you're not walking with that truth, then you're going to be missing something. And the whole armor of God, it's critical to have. So in context to relationships, can I just ask you, what happens when you have unresolved issues with relationships? What happens when you try to make it up with somebody and you've done everything on your end, but they refuse to bring resolution? What you going to do? You have a couple choices. You could gossip. You could speak of them and say, I have done the Matthew thing and I've talked to you and you refuse to reconcile. I'm doing the biblical thing. You're not doing the biblical thing. Y'all messed up. You're running with the devil. You could condemn them. You could criticize them. You could go and you could have biblical foundation, cite the scriptures, cite their offense. You could stand in offense. You could stand and be critical. You could stand and be bitter, or you can stand in love. Because if you stand in love, love believes the best. Jesus stood in love even when Judas betrayed him. He said, friend, what you've come to do. Jesus showed us that we get to stand in love. And so sometimes I can even know times where I've stood and you stand and you're sitting there and you're trying to do what Jesus did and you're standing in love and you're making declarations about somebody, and it'd be a lot easier to buy the lie than it would be to buy the love declaration. But when you've done all else to stand, what do? Stand. Are you with me? How about spiritual warfare? In spiritual warfare and battles, what do? When you've done all else to stand. So what's all else? We pray, we grow, we ask for wisdom, revelation, and when you've got an, you stand. What happens when you're in a battle? What do? You stand. You stand for love, you stand for truth, you stand for the word. And you know the word, when it tells us to stand, when you've done all else, stand. It's kind of like, you know, I know you enjoy boats and boating. It's kind of like when the boat is going through and it's cutting through like a storm, and you're piercing through the storm because you're having to go sideways because you're going against the wind, but you're cutting and you're cutting and you're making a stand against the storm, but you know that's all you can do is to cut and to cut and to do those switchbacks back and forth to make progress. But you're standing against the storm, but you're making progress. But in that, there's a violent storm going on, but you know you have to stand and direct and redirect and make it through. And sometimes in the spiritual battle, that's all you're going to do is do everything else you can do to stand, and the storm's not going to go away. And you could preach this Christianity where there's no storms. You could preach this tickling gospel that says you'll never have a battle, you never have a fight. There's a lot of joy, but there's also a lot of battles. And if you don't enter into battle, you can just sit on the bench and miss out on your destiny, what God's called you to do. But if you're going to walk in what God's called you to do, you're going to have battles. Profile all the leaders of the Bible, they had battles. Jesus, he had battles. And it's kind of like, if we take it to a different illustration, maybe like, you know, there's a lot of games on the TV. How about we go to a game illustration? God's the quarterback of truth, isn't he? See, Jesus is the quarterback and he's got truth and he's trying to get truth into your hands. And he's trying to push the truth down the field, isn't he? But what does Jesus need to do that? What does a quarterback need to be able to get into that sweet spot and to stay there without getting sacked? Oh, he needs an offensive line. He needs an offensive line that's going to what? They're going to stand, and they're going to stand together. Because if the offensive line gets divided, then the devil's going to run right in and get Jesus, isn't he? Not Jesus, but he's going to get truth. I'm saying in this illustration, Jesus is a quarterback. Can you stay with the illustration? My wife's got, not Jesus. Devil's not going to touch Jesus. I'm like, I get that. Okay, that means a different one. Then we'll say the pastor's a quarterback and he's got truth. Okay, that's better. That's not better. I don't want to get sacked. What's up? Dude, let's go to the illustration. Stay with the illustration. We need a line, don't you? Can I tell you, husbands, wives, you're a line sometimes. And if you don't stay together, the devil's going to mess with your kids. Because when you get divided, then the devil rushes in. But you need to stay together. So his whole thing is they get all these plays up to divide the line, to pull someone off, to make a hole, and to push two people two different ways. So some linebacker is going to come right in there. And the devil, he has a strategy the same way. We need to hold the line. We need to hold the line in Connect Group. You need to hold the line in the worship team. You need to hold the line in the men's ministry, women's ministry. You need to hold the line in your relationships. Hold the line in your marriage. Hold the line. You need to stay together, and you need to stand. And when you're not standing in truth, the devil's going to come in. And how he came in the beginning is the same way he'll come in again. He'll use a lie. And he'll get you to bite the lie. You don't really believe they're with you. Oh, Emily, you're leading a trip overseas, but your team's not with you, blah, 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 and so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. You can't roll together if you're not unified. You have to unify. And there's power when you roll. When a team is on, that team is rolling, that quarterback's in that pocket, people are dropping, people are coming right up behind him, and it's like, when the ball's, and you're like, that was just beautiful, they're all in sync. It's like harmony. It's wonderful. Hold the line. Stand. But if you're not standing in truth, you're not going to stand. Because the devil's always trying to tell you things to get you off the line. And we stood this week. I stood in ICU with some dear friends standing for their mother. I stood this week with another pastor in our city in his church and prayed for him and believing for his church and his prosperity and blessing in his household. We stood this week for family members. I've stood this week for all kinds of things. We stand. And when we've done all else to stand, we keep standing. But we don't just walk away and go, well, you know, that one's up a creek. You know, no, we stand. And we believe when we stand. We believe that we're standing and God is standing with us. Are you with me? Because you could believe a lie. You could walk away and believe a lie all day long. Couldn't you? You're like, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus is like, no, no. So we can believe a lie or we can just believe God. And sometimes it's harder to stand than it is to bite into the lie. So how do we stand? We stand in truth, and nothing but the truth will help us, God. Number two, the belt of truth is the easiest to get your hands on. It's easiest because it's not invisible. It's like the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, but Pastor, help me out. Where's the sword of the Spirit? You know, like the breastplate of love and righteousness. They're all invisible. This one, you can see it. You see this? He's saying that's the truth that's the logos. This you can get your fingers on. That belt was the least like noticeable. That belt that they wore was leather, just like this Bible. You can get your hands on this one. It's the one piece of armor. You can get your hands on this written word and let this written word become live and rhema. You can let this written word take its form. And it's not just us reading, it's us. It's not just the truth that we read, it's the truth that we know. Are you with me? We need to take it and we need to know it. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So we take that written word and then God breathes on it and it becomes that rhema word. And that rhema word is that living word. Rhema is that spoken word. We get to take it and we get to speak it. We get to take that word and we get that written word and we download it into these hard drives. We get to download it. And your processor either works for God or it works for the devil. Either you're going to let it come back out of your mouth onto the screen of life and you're going to make declarations and declare when you're in a spot and the storm's there and you say, storm, be still. You're going to see death and you're going to say, life, come forth. You're going to see a fever and say, fever, be gone. You're going to see a situation and you're going to see lack of food, food be multiplied. But you can either declare the word and you can either stand in truth and you can either agree with truth or you can agree with a lie. And we get the choice all day long. So next one, A, is without the belt of truth, your joy will dissipate. Psalms 119, 24, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. You know, we can get into trouble and we can look right away for human counselors, but what about these? Man, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are still talking. Acts is powerful. I mean, there's some pretty good counselors. Romans got some good stuff going on. I mean, just there's some counselors in here, you know, and thy word is my counselors. How about we love it? How about we delight in it? How about, you know, and when we don't embrace it without the belt of truth, our joy dissipates. And the next one, B, without the belt of truth, you lose your sense of righteousness. In Hebrews 5:12, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again. First principles and the oracles of God, you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. If you don't learn the word of God, you're always going to say, please teach me and tell me. Emily, tell me what the word says about this. And you're like, man, you've been a Christian long enough. Why don't you know these things? You can get your hand on this. You need to get word for yourself. I mean, it's all good. You all parents, you like feed your babies. That's awesome. But when you got a 12-year-old saying, "Can you get me a bottle?" You're like, "Dude, get up and get some food. There's a refrigerator. Man up. We need food." We had three men in our household. It's like, man, if you need food and you're like, if you're already in your teens, it's like, you get in there and make your own food. Are you here? It's not like you don't order people around. How about with the word? Paul's saying, if you don't know how to get this belt of truth, if you don't want to get this belt of truth, and you're always looking for someone else, you're like a baby that always needs milk. You're not even ready for meat. We can't even tell you the meaty things because you're not. You just need a baba. We don't send baba hugging people out to battle, but God wants you to enter into battle. You ignore that belt of truth and your righteousness suffers. And see, without that belt of truth, your strength and your faith will evaporate. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're like, man, I just don't know why this one took me out and this one took me out. It's like, because you're not equipped. You're not thoroughly equipped because you don't have your belt. I've been in spots where I didn't have a belt and I needed a belt. So one time I stuck Jesse in a tree stand and he forgot his safety harness. I'm like, Jesse, do not shut your eyes. And I'm thinking, people die falling out of deer stands. You know, he's hunting back there, bow hunting in the Midwest, and he didn't have a harness. And I'm like, so lucky I stuck him in a tree with a Y. So he's sitting there, and I said, do not shut your eyes. He didn't know why I told him that. But he's sitting there, and before long we come back, he's leaning his head against the Y of the tree. He's asleep in the tree. If it would have been a straight tree, he would have fell out. And I'm like, Jesse, I told you don't go to sleep. People die falling. Why didn't you tell me that part, Dad? I'm like, I didn't tell you that. I just know you forgot your belt. You weren't strapped in. And, you know, I didn't want to put that visualization of you falling asleep and then, boom, falling out. And now we're having to raise you from the dead or something. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you need a belt. You need to strap in. Seatbelts save lives. The belt of truth will save you a lot of, just saying. So let's just move right along. The next one. Is three. I'm going to give you some practical steps to keeping it together. I'm telling you to keep it together. Let's do some practical steps. Here we go. Practical steps. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not the truth you read, it's the truth you know. I said it, but it's worth saying again. It's not the truth you read, it's the truth you know. It's the truth you partner with. It's the truth you agree with. It's the truth that you apply. It's the truth you say, that's truth, and you take that. You can have a sign that says, wrong way, do not enter, and you can enter. And you read it, but you didn't do anything about it. Practical step, letter A, identify lies. When your actions are not Christ-like, ask God, what's the lie you believe that's contrary to his word? If you didn't hold it together emotionally, then you need to go back and say, why am I bummed that I didn't hold this together emotionally? All of a sudden, I got fear all over me. Why, God? And he'll be like, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You say, thank you, God. And why should I fear them? You shouldn't, because if I'm in you, then who can be against you? Thank you, God. And why am I feeling this? Because, you know, and you see what I'm saying? It's like, just ask God. He's really good to answer if you'll ask him, why did I lose it? Why did I fall apart emotionally? Because you're believing a lie. You're believing in fear. You're believing in insecurity. You're believing in rejection. You're believing in this. I don't know. Whatever it is. But why? Maybe it's emotional. You know, it's like, so ask, go backwards. And if you're like, I'm asking God, I can't hear, ask someone who hears good. Ask someone. You should have somebody that knows more than you. If you're the smartest guy you know, then the guy that you're getting counsel from is a fool. I'm sorry, but like, if we don't get somebody smarter than us to help us, we're in trouble. A good question is ask. I want to ask you a good question. Here's a good question. When you feel like that you didn't hold it together, I want you to ask a question. Okay, God asked this question. And a good question to ask is just what God asked Adam. First of all, don't we all realize that if God asked Adam a question, he already knew the answer? God asked Adam a question. It was rhetorical, so Adam would get a lesson out of it, right? Just saying. So, if God asked him, who told you that? God already knew who told him that. But he was trying to help Adam. So he said, who told you that, Adam? So that Adam could go, the devil. Why should I believe the devil? You didn't say that. We should ask ourselves, who told us that? This is what's going to happen. You have a bad dream, you wake up all fearful. Who told you that? Well, I could tell you by the way you woke up all fearful, it's probably the devil. Because God doesn't need to tutor you with fear. He can work with truth really good and faith. Just saying, who told you that? That's a good question. Who are we listening to? Genesis 3:11a, who told you that? And then, next one, B, replace the lie. So one, identify lies. Next one, replace the lie with God's truth. How do we get transformed? Transformation comes as we get the scripture. Jesus, every time the devil lied and came to him and said, or challenged him with the temptation, Jesus countered with the word of God. He countered with a word that was appropriate to what was coming against him. And we need to come against it with a word that's appropriate to what's coming against us. So we need to find a scriptural truth. Now we need to find it, we need to read it, we need to repeat it, we need to write it, we need to renew our mind with it. But like just reading it doesn't necessarily renew our mind. But if you read it and then you repeat it, it helps you. Have you ever done that when you're reading and then you say it out loud? It helps you. And if you repeat it several times, and if you need to get renewed by that, repeat it. Write it down. That helps you to repeat it. Write it down. Take it with you. Write it in your phone. Write it somewhere and then repeat it. And as you repeat it, it gets inside. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... I'm not just talking about, you know, success principles that you made up somewhere. Read word to yourself. Do you get that? So read it, repeat it, write it, and get your mind renewed by it. Now, Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God will, and you can be transformed. And your mind it's made to be renewed by the word of God. You were saved, born again. Well, all things became new. Yeah, but you got to get your mind renewed. That's what the word says. So all day long, we walk through and we see all this stuff, and we need to have our minds renewed so we can process the way God processes, so we can hold it together. When the devil comes like to Adam and Eve, Adam should have slapped that thing down and said, I'm not going to eat that thing, and you get away from my wife, devil. One person's clapping. I like you. If your mind's renewed, you're like, no, I'm not eating that. I'm not biting into that. So one, when you identify lies, B, or A, identify lies, B, replace the lies, C, evaluate yourself. When your emotions are feeling less than victorious and you find it hard to hold things all together, ask God if there's a truth that you can put on to hold it all together. Ask him. It's just when your emotions are there, you have to evaluate yourself and say, God, is there a truth that I can apply to help me pull it together right now? In Galatians 6:3-4, it says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one of you examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And we need to examine ourselves, and we need to examine and say, man, if I'm feeling this, it's like, come on, God, help me with this. And I don't like this about myself. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be doubtful. I don't want to be critical, or I don't want to be whatever it is that you're dealing with. We need to examine ourselves and do a self-examination in one way. But if you leave it there, then you just end up condemned. That's right. And the devil says, that's right. You're a loser. And you're like, I knew it. I'm not supposed to walk around condemned. I need to examine myself only so I can say, if I'm going to push out a lie, I'm going to put in a truth. And putting in truth is a great way to push out the lie. So I say, God, what's the truth? And then put the truth in. And when you have the truth, then it's like, yeah. You know, it's like, man, I just feel like quitting. And then you're like, oh, you're more than a conqueror. And you're like, that's right. Found my Batman voice. And sometimes you feel like a schoolgirl. But sometimes some things really do intimidate you. I mean, if you saw Goliath, David was probably like, oh, dog, he's big. He's got a stinking railroad tie with a spear on the tip of it, and he can lift it. And I'm going to do what? And he had to pull it back together and say, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. You're the one. You're the rock that comes out of my... And when he spoke in faith, and he released faith, and then he released a rock. You need to release Jesus. And just, if that's all you can do, is like, release Jesus. Just let him go. Let him off the chain and just say, with my mouth, I'm going to declare the word of God in this situation. And for that young little teenager to tell that big old giant, man, I'm going to take your head from you, blah, blah, blah. It's like he was speaking in the name of the Lord of hosts. And we need to speak the word of God, not arrogant. I'm not telling you to be cavalier and arrogant and go around and challenge devils. I'm telling you that when you get pushed in, you need to speak the word of God confident and accurate. And we need to learn how to accurately hold and wield that word and speak it and make declarations that match the truth. And when you do, it'll pull all things together. And you'll find yourself standing and having victory more. And the next one is monitor your level of hope. Can I just tell you how critical this one is? Because the level of hope you possess will show the truth, that it'll show you that the truth belt is on. And when the truth belt's not on, man, when your hope meter's down, then your belt's not strapped on. I left the house the other day and Teresa said, zip up your zipper. I'm like, oh, dog, thank you. You know, I wasn't all together. You know, sorry for the commentary. I just walked out the door. Thank God I just was standing outside the door, locking the door to the house. At the time, she said, you know, zip up your zipper. And thank you that she's watching me to say, you need to pull it together. Have you ever been there where your shirt's tucked in the back of your pants? Or, you know, you're like, whoops, thank you for bringing that. Well, we need to cover each other. And when someone's buying a lie, we need to tell them, look, man, you need to get the truth strapped on right here. We need to monitor our level of hope. And especially when you feel hopeless. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope. Remember, he's the God of hope. If you're biting into something different, he's the God of hope. If you're hanging out with God, you should have hope. He's the God of hope. If you're tight with him, you should have a hope meter that's high. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're not abounding in hope, then that's a good sign that we're believing a lie. It's hopeless. We're all going to drown. Can you imagine him telling Jesus, Jesus, we're going to die. And Jesus is like, dude, like, I'm life himself. I'm the resurrection and the life. Conquered sin and death. Got a mission here on earth. You're not going to die in my boat. John 17, I didn't lose a one, Father, not a one. Didn't lose anyone on my watch. It's like, if there's a storm, I want to be in Jesus' boat. But we don't even tell Jesus. He's like, the devil told you that one in your ear. Can I help you? You're not going to die. And Jesus just calms the storm, and they're all like, oh, look at him. When in the waves obey him, who is this guy? It's like, come on, you have Emmanuel in you. You have the God of heaven and earth. You have the storm stiller inside of you. And if you're telling that storm to be still and it's not stilling, it's okay to say, well, as long as Jesus is in my boat, I don't care if the storm's there, I'll brave the storm. And that's what that word meant, is that if Jesus is in your boat and the storm didn't still, but he's in your boat, I feel just as safe if he's in the boat or if he stills it. And we've spoken to storms and storms have literally stopped. We've seen rain move. We've seen stuff. I've seen airplanes stop shaking. I've seen all this stuff because of a word of a command, because you are powerful. Great. Got it. But sometimes we speak and a storm still keeps coming. That's what I'm talking about today. Sometimes we do everything right and still you're walking through a relational challenge. Sometimes you're doing everything right and you have financial challenge. It doesn't mean you like go, oh, I'm so terrible, I'm all this. No, that's when you take a stand. And that's what that word stand means. It means you're standing against strong opposition. Are you with me? So those are some practical things that we need to do. I want to leave you with a story. If I can get the worship team up here, all of the worship team would be awesome. Is the choir still here? Can you get them up too? What was that warring song you did, like first or second song that was all up? You told everybody to get a little war face on. Jesus' name. The choir's here. Come on up too if you're here in the choir. I like to get all you up here and end with in Jesus' name and get all up in the devil's face. I want to end with this story, okay? You still with me or did you check out? So, I just want to leave you with this. I just want to talk to you about a little story of something happened. It's an old Chinese story, and these people, they had a tiger that was killing people in the village, and nobody could catch it. And the head magistrates, they sent some messengers out, and they said, would you get these hunters, these Tang hunters? And so they wanted these people that were known to be really fierce warriors to come. And so the messenger returns, and he has these Tang men who, you know, arrived, but they were a little disappointed when they arrived. So when they arrived, there's two guys. So basically he's like, go get me the tiger killers, okay? I need somebody who can take this tiger's a man eater, he's killing people, right? So they get these people and they get these tiger killers, and they come in, and here's this old guy with white hair, beard, kind of coughing and wheezing. It wasn't very impressive. And his son, the young one, was 60 years old. Are you getting the picture? The lad was 60 years old. So they come in here, and he's wheezing, and they're looking like, man, you got me sneezy and wheezy. I thought I wanted a warrior. And they kind of picked up on the fact when they had a meal on the table for him that they were disappointed in the way that they appeared. Huh? Has somebody ever come in and said, would you pray for me? And you're not praying. You're just peacefully waiting for Father God. You're not yelling and screaming and something happens, because we don't need to yell and scream for a miracle. We walk in the power of God. Devil's not deaf. Just saying. So these guys are standing here, and they recognize these people are disappointed in me. So what they did was they said, hey, instead of eating the meal, they said, how about we go out, because the tiger's real close to the village. We heard he's close. How about we go out and kill the tiger and come back and eat the meal? Are you with me? Right? Okay, get over you tiger killer, anti-killer tiger. He's a man-eating tiger. The tiger needs to die. He's killing people. People are more valuable than the animal when the animal's a rogue animal. Just get over it, all right? Okay. So they're in this situation, and people are dying. So they send these guys out and say, take this thing out. So they go out into the ravine, and the old guy comes, and he just says, like, you know, to his son who's 60, he's like, seems like the tiger's asleep. So he says, would you wake him up? And so the young guy lets out this tiger scream and acts like a tiger, blah, you know. And the tiger comes running out of the bush, and he's awake all right, and he's coming straight at these guys, and he comes straight at the older guy, and the older guy just takes a stand. Did you hear me? The older guy takes a stand. What did he do? What did he do? He took a stand. So he just takes a stand, and he takes out this little tiny hatchet thing he has, and he just stands there. And here's a tiger, massive tiger, charging him. It's been killing people, and it's coming to kill him. And he takes a stand, and he just stares it, and he jumps, and the tiger jumps right at him, and he just, like, holds this thing steady, and then he just, like, steps out of the way at the last minute, and the tiger's on the ground, and they look, and the tiger's just bleeding, tiger's dying, and everybody's like, dude. And they all circle around the tiger, and they're looking at the tiger, and they're looking at the guy, and they discover that he cut the tiger from the chin all the way down to the bottom. And they're all looking at him like, oh my goodness, you know, this guy had something. What? Tell us your secret. Is it special steel? Is it, you know what I mean? It's got to be because you had somebody lay hands on this axe. Somebody laid hands. He said, what I did was I trained my hands and my arms to be strong to stand here. And I trained my eyes to focus that I could stand for 10 years. I've trained myself to be strong to hold this axe. And I've trained my eyes to focus and not blink. And you could take a feather duster and you could move and brush his eyes with a feather duster. And he could stare and not blink. He was trained to do the one thing. And God said that he's given us everything we need to live a life of godliness and holiness. He's given you everything you need to never say, oh, I just lost it. Oh, when that happens, I lose it. No, you can hold it together in all circumstances, because God's given you the Word of God and the truth of God to train you, to train your fingers for battle and your hands for war, to war against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places that comes against the saints. He's given you everything you need to stand your ground, and the weapons of your warfare to stand your ground, and truth is what holds it all together. Are you with me? And if the devil tells you anything less, that you're going to lose, you're going to back down, you're going to cower out, no, you stand your ground. Relationally, it comes against you, you stand your ground. Financially, you stand your ground. Spiritually, you stand your ground. Because God's given you what it takes. And this word trains us. This word that God's given us, He trains our hands to handle. And anyone who can tell you who's done great things, miracles happen. And when the miracle happens, you don't walk away going, man, I'm so good. You walk away going, God is so good. Because God's trained these hands. You stand through battles and you look backwards, God gets the glory. God gets the honor. Are you with me? Because it's His word. It's His truth. Our job is we need to suit up. We need to gear up. We need to get in God's game. We need to realize there's a battle for souls and there's a battle to break our unity. Don't you let the devil break unity in your families. Don't you let the devil break unity in our church. Don't you let the devil break unity in the midst of our departments. People start talking trash. You need to say, you're not talking truth. We're not trash talkers. We're truth talkers. Trash talking will bring weakness. It'll open your line and the devil will come in. And when you look and you say, everything's falling apart, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. We need to speak truth, stand in truth. And if there's something different than truth, we need to hold each other accountable. Are you with me? Because God has plans for you. And His plans are good. Can you stand? I saw something during worship last service and I just believe God's going to do something in your life right now. I saw like these... I saw as we were worshiping, almost like if I could describe it as lights of a, when they open a business and these beams shoot up in the sky to tell you grand opening or something. But I saw the people of God and I saw these beams being like cut. And I felt like the darkness that's around you that God, let me just pray for you. Would you lift your hands? Father, I pray that you tear down every lie that keeps them from the truth. And I pray that they would have the ability to stand. I pray that you tear down the lies of relational lies when people try to separate you. There's people that are trying to be separated. They're trying to tell you. And this division comes in because you're weak when you're alone and the devil lies and says you're better off without him. I pray you tear down those marital separations. I pray that you tear down those relational separations. I pray that you tear them down with parentals and with relatives. I pray you tear down the lies of fear about finances, that everything's going to be bad. Everything's going to be, God says you're blessed. God says you prosper. God says you can't sow without reaping. We need to apply the truths. God says, what did God say? Don't listen to what the devil says. Don't listen to what the economy says. Don't listen to what the channel news tells you. Listen to the Bible, the good news, because he's got stuff to tell you. You're blessed and prosperous. And I just thank you that you are a powerful person and you can stand. Because Paul didn't stand in his own. He said, I've died. My life's hidden with God in Christ. And that's what's happening in you, is that Christ Jesus wants to rise up inside of you. And I don't know, maybe you're here and you're saying, I don't know this Christ Jesus, but I'm getting all messed up. I get tossed to and fro, but I need that Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you say, well, I kind of had that and I made a decision for this Jesus, but I don't know him like that. And I haven't been standing too strong. I just want you all over this room just to repeat this with me and just say, Father, I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, but that he rose. I believe the truth. 100% truth of your word, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, to live the truth, to speak the truth, to stand in the truth, to hold it together with your truth in the name of Jesus. I just pray right now that God says, even as you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And if you've been believing lies, he'll break the power of lies. That if you weren't born again, that you will be born again. At the end of this service, there'll be a prayer team up here. And there's words that want to pray over you, people to be healed and blessed and ministered to. But right now, I want you to make a declaration. I want you to sing out with all that you have. And I want you to just make a declaration that you're going to stand, because God's going to empower you to stand. And at the end of this, after they get done singing, they're going to release you. Pastor Andrew's going to release you. But there'll be a team up here to pray for you. If you need ministry, you come forward and get prayer.